Our scripture reading today is taken again from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, reading the verses 21 through 27. Let us hear the word of God. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And now the following verses, verses 24 through 26, form our text. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his holy and infallible word to our hearts. Dear friends, sometimes the best part of a sermon is the end. And I say that not because the end signals the time that we can go home, but I say this because the ending of a sermon is usually the climax of what the preacher wants to say. The ending brings everything together. It summarizes the main points and usually drives it home with a searching question, a moving plea, or an urgent call, or powerful illustration. Now, this is certainly the case with our Lord's sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. The words of our text are taken from the last part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, the verses 24 through 27. There's a close connection between these verses and the verses that come before it. In the preceding verses, verses 21 through 23, our Lord warns against the danger of self-deception. And he portrays professing Christians standing before him on the day of judgment, pleading to be let into the kingdom of heaven. And to support their plea, these people remind our Lord of all the things that they had done for him. And he even records them as saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. But Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Why will Jesus say this? Because for all of their proud boasting, these people did not do the will of his Father in heaven. They thought they did, but they did not. And as a result, they were refused entry. And now in our text, verses 24 through 27, our Lord warns against another kind of self-deception, and he does so in the form of a parable. Two men decide to build a house. One man, called the wise man, decided to build his house on the rock. And as a result, when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, the house stood firm, for it was built on a rock. The other man, known as the foolish man, decided to build his house on the sand. And as a result, when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, it fell, and great was the fall of it. The wise man represents those who hear the words of Jesus and do them. The foolish man represents those who also hear the words of Jesus but do not do them. So what we have here are two contrasting pictures. In verses 21 through 23, we have a picture of those who say but do not do. And in verses 24 through 27, we have a picture of those who hear but do not do. Yet both groups believe they are true Christians. Now, by presenting this picture, our Lord is asking us, as he comes to the close of this sermon, which kind of builder are you? Are you a wise builder who is building his house upon the rock? Or are you a foolish builder who is building his house on the sand? May the Lord give us grace to examine ourselves in the light of his word as we bring this series of sermons to a close. My theme is building a house that lasts. We'll consider two thoughts. First of all, the foundation it requires, and secondly, the test it endures. Our Lord in our text presents us with two builders. Both of these builders represent two types of professing Christians. One is wise, he is the true Christian, and the other is foolish. He represents a pseudo or false Christian. Now, these two builders had much in common. In the first place, they both decided to build a house. They also both decided to build a house in the same general location. Now, we deduce this from the fact that both houses were subject to the rains and the wind and the flooding at the same time. The fact that the houses were subject to floods suggests that both of these men decided to build their houses in a floodplain, perhaps close to a river. They also built the same kind of house. If that were not the case, then the point of the parable would make no sense. For then one could say that the reason why one house stood firm and the other collapsed was because the one house was better constructed than the other. But as we'll see in a moment, the reason why the one house stood firm and the other collapsed had nothing to do with the fact that one was better constructed than the other. It was solely due to the foundations of each. But for all of their similarities, these two builders are quite different. The one was wise, the other was foolish. Now, what is it that made the one builder wise and the other foolish? Well, it was not their choice of location. To build in a floodplain, especially one that rarely floods, is risky, but it's not foolish. In fact, there are many advantages to building a house in a floodplain, certainly during the days of the Lord Jesus. When you build your house in a floodplain, you have ready access to an abundant supply of water for washing and drinking, and even for agricultural purposes. So what was it then that made the one builder wise and the other builder foolish? It was not their choice of location, but it was their choice of foundation. The wise man, we are told, chose to build his house on the rock, whereas the foolish man chose to build his house on the sand. Now, it goes without saying that to build a house on sand in a floodplain is a very foolish thing to do. And that's because a floodplain is prone to flooding, which is why it's called a floodplain. If the flooding is severe enough, it might simply sweep the house away because there's nothing to anchor it to the ground. That was especially true in Palestine. For much of the year, the land of Palestine is hot and dry. But during the rainy season, it can receive significant amounts of rainfall in a relatively short space of time. Storms blow in from off the Mediterranean Sea, dumping large quantities of rain on the arid land. And because the land is so dry, much of this rain doesn't penetrate into the soil. It simply runs off the land and swells up the rivers very quickly. At times, these rivers can become a rushing, mighty torrent, sweeping away everything in its path. So if you're going to build a house in a floodplain, as these two men did, You have to build it on a firm foundation, at least if you want it to last. You need to dig down to the bedrock and start building from there. But the foolish man didn't do this. He built his house on the sand. Now, why did the foolish man do this? Why did he not build his house on the rock? And there's several possible reasons for this. Maybe he was just plain lazy. The man had no desire to dig down to the rock. That was too much work. He probably felt sorry for his neighbor, Mr. Wise Man, sweating away under the hot sun. He may have also thought that his neighbor was being far too conscientious. He's worried about nothing, he might have thought to himself. Oh, sure, from time to time the river might flood, but a little bit of water won't do any harm. My house will stand. It's also possible this foolish man was impatient. To dig to the rock would take time. And he didn't have that kind of time. He wanted a house now. He had no time to do things properly. He just wanted to get her done, as we say. Now, the wise man wasn't like this. In the first place, he wasn't lazy, but hardworking. As he studied the best way to build a house in a floodplain, the wise man learned that the most important thing to do was to build on a rock. And that's what he did. He dug and he dug and he dug until he hit the rock. And then he started to build his house. Now, to be sure, that was a lot of work. But this was the only way to ensure that his house would last. Secondly, he was not impatient, but patient. He knew that one day the river might flood, and therefore he wanted to do things right. He wanted to build a house that would last, and so he took the time to build it properly. Now, as I've already mentioned, Jesus uses these two men to represent two types of professing Christians. One wise, the other foolish. The wise representing a true Christian, the foolish representing a false Christian. Like the two builders, these two types of believers have much in common. They both heard and believed the same gospel, and they are both building a house. Not a physical house, of course, but a spiritual house. They are building their hope for eternity and living their life accordingly. In some cases, like the wise and foolish builders, they are even building their house in the same location. They might live in the same town. They might even have the same background and the same upbringing. They may even attend the same church. What is more, they may even believe the same things and subscribe to the same confessions and hold to the same truths, so that we might say from the outward appearance, at least, they are exactly the same. But for all of their similarities, these two types of believers are quite different. The one is wise, the other is foolish. And that's because the wise Christian builds his house on the rock. Now, some commentators have interpreted this rock to refer to Christ. And the argument is that the truly wise man builds his hope for eternity on Christ and Christ alone, whereas the foolish man does not. He builds his hope for eternity on Christ plus something else. His good works, his spiritual experiences, his religious observances, and so on. Now, while there's some truth to that, that's not the meaning here. We know this because the point of comparison here is not the foundation on which your salvation rests, but rather on hearing and doing or not doing the word of God. Jesus says, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." And then he goes on to say that everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. So the wise man is the one who hears the sayings of Christ and does them. Whereas the foolish man is the one who hears the same sayings of Christ but does not do them. Now, what are these sayings? Well, broadly speaking, this is the Word of God. The Word of God is a compilation of the sayings of Christ. But more narrowly, we can say that the words that Christ spoke in this sermon, especially the second part of this sermon, constitutes the sayings of Christ. And I'm thinking particularly of the words that he speaks that are recorded in chapter 5, starting at verse 13, up to chapter 7, verse 12. You may recall that this part of our Lord's sermon is basically an explanation of the statement that our Lord makes in chapter 5, verse 20, that unless our righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So in making this statement, our Lord is saying that contrary to the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees, keeping the traditions of the elders is not enough. We must keep the law of God itself, and not just the letter of the law, but also the spirit of the law. And then he goes on in the rest of chapter 5 to explain what that means. For example, he says, the elders say, you shall not murder. But I say, you must not only refrain from actually killing someone, you must also refrain from any sin that might possibly lead to murder. Do not call him names. Do not harbor anger and resentment in your heart towards him. Only then can you say, I have kept that commandment. The elders say, you shall not commit adultery. But Jesus says, you must not only refrain from actually committing the actual act of adultery, but you must refrain from any sin that might lead to adultery, such as looking lustfully at someone who is of the opposite sex. Again, the elders say, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But Jesus says, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, commits adultery. Again, the elders say, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But Jesus says, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. And then to sum it all up, Jesus says in chapter 5, verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And then in the following chapter, including the first part of chapter 7, Jesus goes on to say that if we not only will we obey the law of God, we will also do our charitable deeds in secret. We will pray in secret. We will fast in secret. We will serve God with our whole heart. We will trust in him for all things. We will refrain from judging other people. We will ask, we will seek, and we will knock. Now the false Christian hears these things. He may even appreciate them and admire them and even endeavor to do them. But he doesn't do them fully and completely. And if he does, he does so only partially, only reluctantly, and out of a sense of duty or to gain something by it, rather than out of love, love for God and love for one's neighbor. Why does he do this? Why does he do this only partially? Well, for the same reasons that the foolish man built his house upon the sand. He's lazy. The foolish man is convinced that what Jesus says in this sermon is too demanding. The standard is too high, he says. He wants an easy religion. A religion that costs him nothing. That requires very little sacrifice, very little commitment. He wants the spoils of war without having to fight the battle. He wants the blessings and privileges of salvation without having to expend the time and energy and suffer the pains and sacrifices that are necessary to attain them. After all, he says, are we not set free from the law? Are we not saved by grace? Therefore, it doesn't matter how we live. All that matters is that we believe in Jesus. But my friend, this is not true. If that is what we think, we have not grasped what this sermon is all about. This sermon is not teaching us that it doesn't matter how we live our lives. It is teaching us the exact opposite. It is teaching us that if we claim to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, we must live that way. It must show itself in our life. And if it doesn't, we are deceiving ourselves. Second reason why the foolish man built his house upon the sand is because he's impatient. Like the foolish builder, the false Christian doesn't want to take the time to build his salvation on a firm footing. He's too busy for that. He has other things to do. He has a business to run. He has a family to feed. He has many responsibilities in the church and in the school and in society. He has no time to pursue holiness. He wants eternal life, to be sure. But he doesn't want to travel the arduous and often difficult path that leads to it. Now, the true Christian is the exact opposite. He's not lazy. On the contrary, he's prepared to do anything, to go anywhere, to suffer any hardship, to go to any length in order to obtain eternal life. Nor is he impatient. On the contrary, he is willing to take the time to do things properly. He will take no shortcuts. He will take no detours. Why? Because he knows that the eternal welfare of his soul is at stake. He wants to be sure that every step he takes is exactly the right one. Therefore, whatever Jesus says, he does. Oh yes, he will never be able to do it perfectly, at least not in this life, but he will strive to do so. And when he fails, he will confess it on his knees before the Lord, and he will ask him for more grace to do what the Lord commands, to live the way the Lord wants him to live. Now that's the difference between the wise and the foolish man. They both hear, but only the wise man does. That's what makes him wise, and that's what makes the foolish man foolish. So the question comes to you and me, are you wise or are you a fool? Do you only hear or do you also hear and do? What foundation are you building on? My friend, if you are building on sand, I must tell you, you are in great danger. And that brings me to my second point. The house that is built on sand, Jesus says, will not endure. Look at what he says, verses 26 and 27. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Our Lord here imagines that the foolish man has completed building his house on the sand. And for a while, everything seemed to be fine. He lived in his house. He enjoyed living in his house. He probably also took some satisfaction in the fact that he was able to build his house with far less effort and in much less time than his wise neighbor. But then the rainy season started. And it rained. And it rained. And it rained. And the wind started to blow, and it blew, and it blew, and it blew. And slowly the river which ran close to the foolish man's house began to rise. At first, only a few inches, but within a short space of time, inches became feet. And the amount of water rushing down the river was so great that it began to sweep away everything in its path. And because it was built on the sand, the foolish man's house was also swept away. And Jesus said, great was the fall of it. The idea is that it was totally and utterly destroyed. There was nothing of it left. Such was not the case with the wise man's house. The rain also fell, and the wind blew in the wise man's house. The river also came crashing against it, but because it was built on the rock, it survived. So that by the time the storm had passed, the foolish man had no house to go to, but the wise man did. Now, commentators will differ as to what's represented here by the rains and the wind and the rivers. Some, such as A.W. Pink and Martin Lloyd-Jones, see significance in each of these. A.W. Pink, for example, says that the rains represent afflictions from heaven, the floods represent opposition from the world, and the winds represent the assaults of Satan. But this is neither necessary nor wise. The wind and the rain and the floods do not represent so much three kinds of trials, but trials in general, though in varying in severity. These trials can be any number of things. They can be a serious illness, a sudden death in the family, a financial setback, or some form of persecution. What Jesus is saying is that trials will come to every believer. These trials will test whether the believer has true faith or not. Whether he's building on the rock or whether he's building on the sand. Whether he's hearing only or hearing and doing. If they serve to destroy a man's faith and trust in Christ, then you will know that this man never truly believed. He built his house on the sand. He was never truly converted to God. But if they do not destroy a man's faith and trust in Christ, then we will know that he did truly believe. He built his house upon the rock. He was truly converted to God. Now, of course, the ultimate trial will come on the day of judgment. Then every single person will stand before God and be judged. Those who have true faith will enter into everlasting glory. Those who do not will enter into everlasting perdition. And therefore the question comes to us again today. Where will you be on that day? What judgment will Christ pronounce on you? My friend, if you hear but do not do the sayings of Christ, you're not only a great hypocrite, you are in great danger. You are building your house on the sand. And the day will come when, like the foolish man's house in the flood, we will be swept away by the wrath and the condemnation of God, unless you repent. But if you are one of those who hear and do, then you have nothing to fear. For you are building your house on the rock. And when you stand before the Lord in the day of judgment, your house will stand. You will not be swept away by the wrath and the judgment of God. Because Christ, your Savior, was swept away for you. He died that you might live. Two men, one wise, the other foolish. Which of these two men are you? Amen.